Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way, to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight, no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Greetings and welcome everyone to Now What? Where do I go from here? So we've got two moderators that serve to host this show. The first is Star Waters, better known as the Wellness Wizard, and she comes with years and years of practical and personal experience in wellness and overcoming various chronic incurable diseases. And I'm Sandy Rogers, and I am also known as the gangster, wellness gangster. And because of my approach is just straight on, you know, no chasers, no playing around, just telling you straight up what it is. And I too have overcome some illnesses that they said would kill me, and that was 20-something years ago, and here I am still without any aid of medicines and surgeries and all of that thing. So we both give thanks for our lives, and we welcome you to Now What? Where do I go from here? So we always start our shows with giving thanks to our ancestors, because they've blessed us with many gifts and have always shown us the way as long as we're attentive to that. And so we stand on the shoulders of for strength and knowledge, fortitude, resilience, understanding. Just, you know, the list just goes on and on, the gifts that our ancestors share with us. And so we remain thankful all the time. And we also trust and believe that as we learn more, as we remember those things that our ancestors have taught us, that we too shall be in that realm of shedding wisdom to humanity. So, ancestors, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And we trust that you're guiding us at every step. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Ashe.
Yes,
powerful.
Yes.
Powerful.
Thank you, darling.
Well, Sandy. Yes, yes, yes. What we got for the people today, Sandy?
Look, now, you know what? So let me do one more thing before we get into it, because, you know, I was getting ready to go head first right then. But check this out, everybody. People come on and that are not necessarily available for Eastern time on Thursday, so they come and they listen to replays. And sometimes you're on the show and you just want to hear the show again. And so our lines are open to the audience to be able to participate. The only thing that we ask is that once your line is open, if you're not saying anything, just to put your phone on mute because the microphones are very, very sensitive and it will easily pick up all the background noise. Our call-in number here, in case you are not dialed in, is 516-531-9819. And once you call that number, if you would like to speak live on air with us, just push 1 on your dial, and that'll let us know that you want to speak to us. Some people push the 1 because they don't listen to the whole direction, so it doesn't matter. But you would call in and push 1 if you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, you just call in and listen. And so that was one of the things I wanted to say, and we appreciate you joining us. Now, start to get back to your question today. So last week we started the conversation on the coronavirus, you know, like what is it? Are there ways to prevent it or to become better equipped at preventing it from happening in your body altogether? And we had some incredible guests that shared with us. Sean Coffey is an herbalist here in the Atlanta area, and even though he was not in the city, he did join us long distance because he's going across the country speaking on the subject and advising as to what natural herbs can be used to strengthen your immune system. And remember, when your immune system is weakened, that is the time when you're more susceptible to contracting anything, a cold, anything, the flu, you know, and that type of deal. So he gave us a lot of different herbs, and we can go over those again today if you would like. Then we had Joelle that came on, and Joelle talked about the energetic healing. See, because we think as a nation that once we are diagnosed with something, and I use that word lightly, but anyway, as we're told by the white coats that we have something, you know, the first thing, like Star said in the intro, we want to know what pill for the ill am I supposed to take. But there's other ways in addition to herbs and different things that you can take. And our bodies are energy. They're just a ball of energy. So as you understand about Qigong and Reiki and Tai Chi and some of those energy modalities, you know, you can also guard up your body with participating in some of those activities. So Joelle brought that to our attention and helped us to remember. And we had Eve Davis and Wanda D. Hollis came on. It was a very lively discussion. And so if you would like to go back and hear that show from last week, you can go on at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SANDYRODGERS. So that's a real quick, in a nutshell, kind of overview from last week. And we talked a lot about the official definition of what the coronavirus is from the CDC standpoint. And actually, we kind of shed the light on how much we don't know about it, too. So, Star, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can continue on and remind us of the things that we talked about last week.
Oh, boy, yeah. I was so into everybody's comments and from the brilliance and the intelligence that each person brought to the conversation. I wasn't taking notes. I was just into it and wanted everybody just to just flow with it. What I do know that is different this week than from last week is that a lot of things have changed around country, America, the United States. People are now not asking the question, is this an epidemic or is this a pandemic? It has been now told to us that it is now officially a pandemic. And so I wrote both of the, I wrote the word pandemic and panic on a piece of paper. And
wow.
Guess what they start with? The P-A-N on both words, okay? So I don't know. I know that people were somewhat concerned when we were told that it was an epidemic, that it was not really here, but it was somewhere else. It was over there. And now for at least for us here in Georgia where they have actually – closed a whole county worth of schools because there was one. Makes me think about the Muppets. One case of it. The whole school district been closed, and then I just found out that part of Cobb County School District is closed because there was
really
one.
Wow.
Yes. So now we're beginning to shake it. Well, let me take myself out of it. Now, as a collective, people are beginning to shake in their boots and panic because it's now being described as a pandemic. So I think maybe this week's conversation might be a little different, maybe because people are feeling more closer to it and maybe feeling even more frightened that they might, you know, because they don't know how to not get it, you know. I see a lot of different color gloves now when I go out, you know, the blue gloves, the pink gloves, all of those gloves. I'm seeing people wearing gloves now. And, you know, you can go certain places and you can't get the hand sanitizer anymore. And if you can get it, it may cost you like $80 a bottle, you know.
What?
And, yes. $80 a bottle for the hand sanitizer, not to mention how they have escalated on the prices of the mask, the face mask. So, yeah, we are definitely in panic mode. And I just wanted to, you know, to talk about it, talk about having and using common sense and what that looks like in the face of, it's been told that we're now in a police state when, you know, they're shutting down events, you know, you can't go to the games no more because they've been canceled for the rest of the season. You know, the schools are closing, you know, somebody was saying, oh my God, I hope they don't cancel the Essence, you know, the vote. I mean, yeah.
Hmm.
So people are really very, 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 very worried. But, I mean, I think in a sense that that should not be a reason to panic. That should be a reason to say people are being proactive and trying to shut this thing down so that it does not get to what we would call a police state and a pandemic condition, you know. So keep those people at home, the little kids, because they spread germs like 90 going north. So let them stay at home. That's a good thing, you know. But go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, but
No.
I was kind of starting before you had finished. So when we get the flu, and the flu has caused so many deaths, I don't even know what the numbers are. And so with the CDC and the World Health Organization not really being able to identify exactly what this new coronavirus, and I say that because that nouveau, the name, means that it's new. And so if they're not even sure, you know, like exactly what it is, my thought is, could it be that the problems that we're having health-wise, could it just be the flu, or could it just be a cold? Because the flu has killed, you know, individuals in the past, so it's not that that's a, you know, something that's unheard of, or, you know, that's impossible, and only the coronavirus could do that. I'm just, you know, trying to look at all parts of it. I'm going to bring this up. And audience, please, at any point in time, because we just all talking about this, we're trying to make sense of it, share whatever facts that we have with each other so that we can each make our own decisions about how we're going to take care of ourselves. And let me say this disclaimer right quick. I said it last week, but I want to make sure that we state it again this week. Our radio program, Now What, Where Do I Go From Here, we are not anti-establishment. We simply want to empower you with your own education and your own knowledge so that you have, guys, we've got links. As we make quotes from these different publications, we'll make sure that we give those links to you in case you want to go on and read it for yourself. And that's one of the most important elements of this and any other kind of wellness health issue that we may face, is we must stop believing or relying, not believing, but relying on other people to tell us what to believe. You know, so let's do our own research, our own investigation. But I got this is
well,
an
can
article.
I, can, before,
by,
before you go on, before you before
yes,
you go
ma'am.
On any further,
yes,
can
ma'am.
I add one more word to what you just said? Reacting.
Mm.
Reacting. Because
yes.
That's what a lot of people are doing, is they're watching the news and they're talking to one another and they're reacting. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add that word in there, too. So I'm sorry, but I just wanted to put that before you went on.
No, that's great.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah. So I just want to state this, and then I want to piggyback on what Star just said. So this is an article by an individual whose name is Grace Rahman, Rahman. And she stated that one of the books, she was talking about some of the Facebook posts that have been talking about, there were books written many years ago about this virus coming out. And so she says one of the books mentioned is The Eyes of Darkness. It's a science fiction novel written by Dean Koontz and published in 1981. The book references a fictional biological weapon called Wuhan 400 that was designed to kill people but inadvertently gives one child psychic abilities. And then they talk about, she talks about the coronavirus and is technically known as SARS, S-A-R-S, COV-2. And the other book mentioned is The End of Days, END, End of Days, Predictions and Prophecies about the End of the World, co-written by psychic and spiritual teacher Sylvia Browne, B-O-R-W-N-E.
Oh, yeah.
And that was published in 2008. So in that book, it says in around 2020, so they even pointed the year, in around 2020,
what?
A severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. So just wanted to bring those two. And then another one, just one more, is that The Simpsons, for those of you that look at TV, it's a little cartoon, The Simpsons. In 1993, season 4, episode 21, there's also mention of a virus attacking people. So it's not as new as what we think it is. It's not as novel as what they're telling us it is. And so those are just some of the other references that have already been published and talked about. And so those two books, The Eyes of Darkness and The End of Days, 1981 and 2008, they are, and then The Simpsons in 93. So those are three different generations there of information that's already been published or spoken about, I should say, spoken about the SARS and the coronavirus.
Okay. So what do we know about this virus?
We know that they're still trying to identify all that it does and what it has. It says, this is from the CDC, and you can go to www.cdc.gov/COVID-19, and it says, the virus that causes COVID-19 probably, but now it seems to be spreading from person to person. At this time,
can you say that
unclear.
First part again? Because you, I'm sorry. Can you say that first part again? Because you kind of went out. I didn't hear before you said.
Okay.
It's spreading out person to person. I'm sorry. But I want our audience not to miss anything.
A virus that causes COVID-19 probably emerged from an animal source, but now it seems to be spreading from person to person. At this time.
Oh, wow.
It's unclear how easily or sustainably the virus that causes COVID-19 is spreading between people. Again, this is an official document from the CDC. I picked it up at the library, and if you want to check it out, it's at www.cdc.gov/COVID-19. And it says, what are the symptoms, right? It says fever, cough, and shortness of breath. That sounds like the flu to me, or a cold at the mildest. So, you know, I'm just just concerned with, you know, with the identification of this thing, and and I think you said the word earlier, so actionary, and making, you know, everything that people are experiencing, and this is the cold and flu season, but, you know, making everything be this coronavirus. So I'm gonna leave that one right there. So, audience, once again, chime in at any time, 516-531-9819. You can hit 1 on your dial to let us know some of the things that they say preventive actions is to avoid close contact with people who are sick. I mean, that's common sense. I think that's what. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. That's hygiene.
Oh my God.
And it says to wash your hands often. And so Star was talking about how the price of the hand sanitizers are just skyrocketing. And then also the mask. Well, you can make your own hand sanitizer with using just some alcohol and some aloe vera gel or some type of carrier that you want to put that in, or just wash your hands with plain rubbing alcohol. So we've got two callers, Star. I'm going to open up the first line. It's on 678-592. You want to give us your name and whatever you'd like to share with us?
I'll just be in the gap. I just wanted to comment on the difference between a pandemic situation and an epidemic situation. You know,
okay.
When you look at the terminology pandemic, you know, it just pretty much means that it's prevalent over a whole country or across the world. Okay?
You said it.
When we're looking at an epidemic, it means that it's pretty much widespread occurrence of an infectious disease within a community at a particular point in time. Now, I have a medical background, and some of the things that I've experienced, and it's been really interesting because even those people that I may not have talked with for a while, you know, they're calling me because I'm in the medical background, and I don't necessarily get caught up into it, and I love the way Star mentioned about reacting. And, you know, there's a difference between reacting and responding. And when we're in a fear mood, we have a tendency to react. And my experience at a couple of hospitals within the major Atlanta area, you know, people have been really reacting and not following some things that are just real basic. And because I'm in the medical profession, washing my hands is something that I do.
Right.
You know, just a piece that's very, very important, because things can grow and we have different mediums, whether that's something that's human, animal, or just the desk. So I've always been into a mode of, okay, let me make sure I wash my hands, even touching doorknobs, and not saying that I'm OCD, but just understanding that stuff is out here. Now, when you begin to look at the respiratory system, that becomes something that's really, really, really can be problematic, particularly with people coughing. And, you know, even learning that we've got to really begin to cough differently, do an elbow cough more so than just sneezing or coughing otherwise, because there are all types of things that are out here in the environment. And I think Sandy has mentioned this as far as really tightening up our immune system, because if your immune system is in place and it's functioning the way that it should function, then you'll be able to resist a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
most disease processes are due because the immune system is not working. You know, we've got inflammatory processes that are going on. And the bottom line comes is our lifestyle, especially the way that we eat.
Yes.
Oh, girl, please.
See, this brings back responsibility to why it's going on with you. Now, let me just tell you a little vignette that happened this week for me. Got a call from someone who travels, and they ended up sending them back to their home base.
Wow.
Okay. And the concern was, well, what's going on? They went to an urgent care center. They checked them out and said, well, you don't have the flu, and then sent the person home. So, of course, the person started panicking because I don't feel good. I'm sick. I got a fever. I'm aching. I said, well, you are you short of breath? No, I'm not short of breath, but I got a fever, and I'm aching, and I'm coughing. Not a whole lot, but I'm coughing. Now, the first response is, okay, well, you need to go get yourself checked out. for sure. But what we do have to understand that anytime we have any type of something that comes up, it's really the body's way of responding to try to get itself better again.
Right, right.
That's what the body does because it has its own intelligence. It's what we do and what we don't do that really ends up having us problematic. And because we're so quick to take something by mouth to suppress it, so what that does, it makes it go deeper down into the system. So we have to honor how the body responds. Now, in terms of it, I don't even call it a coronavirus. I call it C-19. The C-19 is really, really interesting. And we have to understand that things many times are grown in laboratories.
Yes, ma'am.
And a relief, okay? And I'm in the research field, medical research. And I've seen how things have been done and say, well, okay, let's see how things going to go because we got to have X amount of people depending on where we are with this particular trial.
Yep, yep.
So there are a lot of variables here, and this is just the surface piece, and I don't want to take up the show piece, but it's real important that we do the hand washing, and everybody need to get on some type of cleansing detox. Now, the biggest piece is where are you getting this stuff from to even get tested? Because the test ain't always available. Now, from what I heard at the institution here, I said, well, we testing people here, and there was a person that had and was admitted to this particular institution. One of them, when the test came back, which now has been reduced from what I understand from 5 days to get the results to 2 days. One person was ruled out. The other person was not ruled out. Then at another institution where the person was admitted and definitely had it, you know, it took a minute. But the challenge is how do you confirm that you have it or you don't have it? Tests aren't readily available. And I went out on the CDC suite, and I'm like, okay, where do you go to get tested? Okay, they said, okay, you go to Fulton County. But then when I talked to somebody that worked in Fulton County, they were unsure as well. So then it was said, well, go to your private doctor. Well, this person that I spoke with called the private doctor. Private doctor said, well, I don't have what we need to do to test you. So now this really feeds into people being afraid and scared. And, of course, the person self-quarantined themselves. And, you know, we got over to them some gloves and, you know, a mask, et cetera. And it was like, okay, what are you going to do at this particular point? Because, see, it goes back to what you've been doing all this time and how your body is functioning and if it's functioning at its optimal level. And can it resist what you're being exposed to? And it goes back to my earth science teacher when I was in high school in ninth grade. And we would do an experiment in earth science, and she said, well, okay, we're going to work with the Petri dish. And the Petri dish is like a medium, so we would inoculate it, all right, to see what it grew. Well, it grew out what it grew because the environment of the Petri dish allowed it to grow. What does that mean? That's basic. So you're going to grow what you've been putting in your body all this time. So we've got to begin to take some responsibility for whatever the process is going on with us. And one pill ain't going to correct it because it goes back to lifestyles. It goes back taking responsibility on how you live, what you smoking, what you doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll leave it there for now.
Well, you know,
girl,
you
could have
continued on talking, child. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, we really appreciate that. And one of the things, so I'm looking at another publication, and it's called Coronavirus Disease 2019, and it says to just give you confirmation as to what Deborah just said, CDC is shipping the test kits to laboratories CDC has designated as qualified, including U.S. state and local public health laboratories, Department of Defense laboratories, and select international laboratories. The test kits are bolstering global laboratory capacity for detecting SARS-CoV-2.
So what she was just saying is exactly what the CDC is saying. The test ain't really available to everybody. So how can you say that these people have that? So just another little tidbit there, information. Libraries have a lot of handouts for you to get. So, but I really, really thank you for that. And then
that
another
was so
thing
juicy.
Too. So,
Deborah
is
Patrice. Don't get my name twisted. My name is Patrice.
Patrice. Yes. Patrice. Appreciate your comments to us. And one of the things that we've talked about lately, too, is how a person can talk themselves into having, having whatever they told by the doctors that they have. They can make their bodies, and the bodies will respond to whatever you tell it, good, bad, or indifferent, right? So, yeah. So we've got another caller here, 206-227. Would you give us your name and help educate us? We're loving this conversation we're having.
All right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely.
You can hear me? Okay. Can you still hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Tell
so
us
my
who
name
you
is
are.
Michelle. Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am calling in. Really, I've really just been enjoying the conversation. And, you know, it's really interesting out here in Seattle. A lot of our major institutions are closed. Y'all were just talking about the library. All of our libraries are closed or on a minimal schedule. University of Washington, classes are canceled. Seattle University classes are canceled, and all of the public schools for Seattle are officially closed for a minimum of 14 days.
Wow.
And so I've just been enjoying the conversation because I really like how Star and Patrice really highlighted to me this difference between responding and reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this, I really, you know, I look at things, I'm not in the medical health field, but I am in the mental health field. And so I'm looking at what the media frenzy is doing to support the spread of the virus. And so when you think about like a reaction, that what's stimulated in our brain is this really the primal reptilian brain. They call it the amygdala, and so you know that part of the brain is really designed to help us protect ourselves from the threat of harm or death, right? And so when you have a media, basically a media frenzy that is, you know, providing a lot of good information, but it's also contributing to this sort of panic response that people are engaged in. And what's so interesting about the amygdala is not only does it, you know, help our sensory awareness increase. So if we are being chased by a lion, our eyes get faster, our heart begins to pump faster to, you know, begin to process all of these chemicals because we're either going to be in fight, flight, freeze type of mode. And so when we have people who are really worked up, that is all being activated by this part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is that part of the brain also stores memory, stores memories of how we take care of ourselves. So when we basically it stores memories of what we did the last time we were sick and didn't die, right? So when we start to slow down our energy, right, we realize we need to reduce our energy output. We're at work and we're like, oh, maybe I need to go home. So we start moving slowly. Before we go home, we're like, oh, let me stop by the store. Do I have some vitamin C? Where are my lozenges? Mm-hmm. Do I have some Kleenex? So it really stores all of those memories that we have to really support our deeper knowing of how to keep ourselves well. So if we're activated in this fight-flight response, we lose our connection to be able to that our own deeper knowing and our storing of memories of how to heal our own body. So this is why we can hear the CDC say something like wash your hands, and it sounds like new information. But we all know that. Right? you know, they'll say, like you were just saying, it's like they'll tell us the same things to do that we know to do during any other flu season, and all of a sudden, it's like we're all out here brand new. Oh, yeah, like let's do this. Because that connection has been severed because we're all in panic. We're not really touching into some of these deeper wisdoms that we know of how to heal our own bodies. So when we talk about sort of it from a mental health and a neuroscience perspective and how this media is really it's severing that connection, but also there's just a way that the amygdala is involved in peripheral immune response even. So, you know, when we're in that heightened sensory state, certain bodily functions slow down or stop. We stop digesting food. The other thing we stop doing is fighting colds and diseases and viruses, which is what we're talking about today. Because if you're like in fight or flight, those larger, wide-scale bodily physiological functions slow to a halt. So even in fight or flight, you are losing your ability to launch an effective immune response. So I just wanted to come on and talk about the mental health, talk about the neuroscience, and what we can do to really begin to calm and soothe our amygdala, our autonomic nervous system. And so when we do those things, we're actually helping ourselves heal ourselves and be able to improve our immune functioning.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Michelle, from Seattle. Yes. Also, can you give us a little insight on, you know, the pulse of Seattle right now? Because when I spoke to you, you mentioned that they have the a serum or something, vaccine going to inoculate the people of Seattle. Can you give us a little something on that?
When I talk to people about how it is out here, they literally don't believe me. But they have tested and started a vaccine. They're trialing like a drive-by swab station. So you just drive in. You don't even have to, like, the workers are literally gown and clothes. Yeah, and people can drive through. I'm telling you,
that sounds unhealthy.
It would, because it decreases, it minimizes your exposure if you do have the virus, as your exposure to people that don't have the virus. There's just a lot going on. A lot, you know, traffic has been cut in half. Amazon, Facebook, Google have put all of their workers on telecommute status. It's very easy to drive around in the city. There's GoFundMe campaigns for artists who have lost business and gigs due to the coronavirus. Yeah, it's, you know, and like you were saying, in Atlanta, some areas the stores are complete, the shelves are completely empty. And so it's really, you know, the thing about it is if you don't, people are just panicking and buying up all of this stuff and driving up the cost of the stuff from the people that really need it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
there's a way that we really have to get the nervous system of people just, you know, calm down. So whatever tonics, nerve tonics that, you know, and things that you employ, like your lavender, things that are going to be really soothing, other things that you want to get into, because, you know, it's really serious out here. And our local government is taking it very seriously.
So who is creating the vaccine that's being used? Unless there's a, and I'm sure there are a newer publication, the CDC was still working on vaccines. So are you saying that CDC now or Seattle using?
Another the type article of, that I read. I'm going to check it. It was Kaiser Permanente who, let me check what I'm saying. Yeah, so Kaiser Permanente, Washington, is enrolling participants in the first coronavirus. It's a vaccine trial. So so I think that it is in conjunction with the national, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, in conjunction with CDC, and all of the groups are coming together, but they're doing the actual trial of this vaccine starting in the Seattle area for the state.
Yeah, because this one particular fact. The CDC, let me see, how does it say? The emergency use authorization process enables the FDA to consider and authorize the use of unapproved but potentially life-saving medical or diagnostic products during a public health emergency. And it says CDC is remanufacturing the regions with more robust quality control measures. New tests will be distributed once this issue has been addressed. And the question I had was this. It says CDC continues to perform initial and confirmatory testing. So my question was, well, who were they going to be testing it on? And you just answered that. Part of that is the folks in Seattle through Kaiser. It looks like.
It's a vaccine trial, right.
Okay. Well, thank you, because that was one of the questions I had. You know, I'm reading all of these publications, and I'm like, so what does that mean? Who's going to be the one that they actually tested on? Well, you know, I'm trying to be nice. we have to be real, girl. So, Michelle, I'm going to open up the line for two more people, but stay with us, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you,
Michelle.
So our next caller is 678-468. Would you give us your name and your contribution to the conversation?
Good morning. Good afternoon, my goddesses. This is Diane from Atlanta.
Hey, Diane.
Hey. I'm loving this sharing. Thank you so much. My question is about detoxing. I want to hear you talk about detoxing, and also for children. That's what I want to hear about detox. How you detox correctly, and what do you use, and is it the same for children? I'll listen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
That's a great question. You want to take it away, Miss Sandy, and I'll come right behind you.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, Diane, is share with you from our guest from last week, Mr. Sean Coffey. And he left us with his email address in case you would like to get additional information from him. So he's a herbalist. So he studied and knows the herbs inside and out. And some of the herbs that he talked about with us last week was elderberry. The syrup was good for respiratory and soup.
Can you say it again? You cut out again. You cut out, so I didn't get it all.
Elderberry syrup is good for colds, flus, and the respiratory. Eucalyptus kills bacteria. Sea moss is an immune booster. Echinacea, I think, was also for the immune system. Siberian ginseng cleanses the blood. And also it helps the thyroid to function better. The thyroid filters blood through our brain and our body. Burdock root is another blood cleanser. And he said we can put bladder wrack, which is the same as kelp, in a diffuser. And that sea moss was actually golden Caribbean sea moss. So he said in a smoothie, the best combination was the bladder wrack, the golden Caribbean sea moss, and black seed oil. And if you listen to, go back and listen to last week's show, he gave more of an explanation as to what each one of those herbs did. And he also talked about, I beg your pardon. So there was two more. Ginkgo biloba helps the blood flow to the heart. And gota cola is your cleans the ridges in your brain, so it helps you with brain power. His email is Sean SEAN 12 at yahoo.com, and he has agreed to answer whatever questions the audience may have, so he can help you with the quantities, what's the proper mixture and things like that. Or you can do your own research. But those were some of the herbs that he talked about last week.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. Now, for me personally, and it had nothing to do, it had nothing to do with this thing that's going on, C19. I just completed a liver cleanse last week, and now I'm into doing the colon, liver, spleen, and kidney, CKLS, with a product from Dr. Moss. And I'm also doing a parasite cleanse. For me, my body just said, okay, it was time to clean it up. So I'm in the midst of doing all of that. I really feel good. The one thing about today, though, Diane, which was really interesting, is that I had to go to the bank earlier. And when I walked into the bank, it was like I started sneezing and coughing and stuff. And so, just, I guess, preparing for the show today, I went out like, I'm not sick, y'all. I'm not sick. And so the little teller, she said, well, the pollen is high today. I was like, oh, thank you, because I don't feel sick at all. So, I don't want everybody running for me or trying to put me out the bank or anything. So those are some of the other areas that we need to pay attention to, too. Just like somebody was talking about the guy that went to the doctor, they told him he didn't have it, but, he's still achy and got a fever and all of like that. We can make up those symptoms in our bodies. We can make them come to be. But I know I was just like, I ain't got it. You know, like everybody's staring at me like, no, no.
Hey, Sandy, and that's why I keep my mask in my pocketbook. Because if I go in the store like that and that starts happening, I put my mask out quick.
I'm just saying, you know, like there's other things that can make you cough and sneeze as well. So let's not be panicking. Fear, thinking that as soon as we sneeze, that we got it. You know, I ain't got it. I ain't claiming it. So, anyway.
Well, what you think
that
about you
your
bring
question?
About?
Yes,
yeah,
thank you,
pretty.
Darling.
You're welcome.
What you
started?
What
you
think
add
about? You? Oh, I got lots to add. Thank you very much on a personal level. But I just said what you think about, you bring about. That's the
yes,
law
ma'am.
Of attraction. So
yes.
if you're constantly yes. thinking about, you know, this virus and getting the virus and, oh, that person over there sneezed and, oh, maybe I got it, you are just opening yourself up to get it, you know. Stop it. Sit down somewhere. I got this little thing from the dollar store last week. A dollar, be still, and know. Sit down, center yourself, clear your mind out, detox your mind from all the stuff that you're being downloaded with, okay? It's causing fear. It's causing that panic. But, yes, I'm going to take it to another level, Diane, and I'm so glad that you asked the question. So where exactly does this virus in our body, what does it attack? It attacks our lungs, okay? That's one of the things that it attacks. And so Patrice mentioned earlier about changing your lifestyle, you know, detoxifying your body. And I am so impressed with Sandy because before this stuff even got stirred up, she was like, I'm getting ready to detox. I'm going to detox my liver. I'm going to detox my, you know, all these things that are also affected by the virus. And so with your lungs, when your body goes, when the blood pressure goes down, what that does is it makes all these things like your liver and your kidneys and all these things get out of whack, and your body becomes overheated, hot, full of fire, which is another way of saying that you are in full-blown inflammation.
Yeah.
And so that is the same as you going down deep sea diving with an oxygen tank on, where you are relying for the oxygen to come through that tank to keep you from drowning. But you can't, because somehow in that system of the tank, you have water. That ain't going to work. You got mud. You know you're about to die because you can't breathe. So when your body is going through inflammation, your lungs are filling up with mucus and water and all of that, and that's what's going to – you're going to be in trouble. So – you have to detox. You've got to change your diet. You have to do not eat animals, okay? Do not eat animal byproducts. That's how we get inflammation. You've heard it before. You know, people keep telling you, I think Sandy mentioned earlier that it started, you know, somehow it's an animal thing going on.
Yep, that's
eat
what it says.
Foods that are going to detoxify you. You know, the whole thing with the Irish moss. The Irish moss loosens the phlegm, loosens the mucus in your lungs, and cleans all that stuff out. You wanted to clean as much mucus and gunk and detox out of your body. The only way you can do that is through what you eat and feed your body. You want to have more alkaline foods, not acidic foods. And, you know, while you're sitting there watching the news, turn that off, get on YouTube or something, and look up what
is acidic foods. Let that be your inoculation. Let that be your medicine, okay? Because you don't know what's in that stuff that they're giving you, and they don't know what's in it, and if it's going to really help you. So that's what I would suggest that you do. Cool your body down. Make sure your body does not get inflamed with the inflammation and the fire. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, and the same thing can happen for your children too, put them on the same kind of way that you're eating. Get that phlegm out. The mucus is not only going to come from your lungs, but it will also come through your urinary tract and also from your colon. So once it starts coming out, and you know, and I know this kind of sounds strange, but once you are into that detoxifying mode, it starts becoming kind of fun for you to look into the toilet after you've had a bowel movement and see not only the waste matter, but also the mucus that your body is spitting out. Mm-hmm. You know that you're doing the right thing. Okay, that stuff is not meant to be in our body, and that's what causes us to be sick.
Yeah.
So I'm a back off there, but that's how you do it. Eat more alkaline foods. Let the meat and the byproducts of the meat go. Save your life. Do something different.
Yes.
Stop being common,
yes.
You know, uncommon,
yeah.
And be proud. And I'm going to step back because I didn't start preaching. Oh, one other thing.
Onions. Go ahead.
One other thing. There's a product on the market called Colloidal Silver, and you can get this product at places like Sprouts, Whole Foods, you know, those type of places. And Colloidal Silver is antiviral, antifungal, and antibacterial. So you can put several drops down your throat a couple of times a day. Hey, nothing to worry about. Okay, so check out Colloidal Silver at your neighborhood, Whole Foods, Sprouts, that kind of thing, and protect yourself that way. And now I'm going to step back.
Okay, there's another couple of items, and we have Patrice coming back on with us, is Manuka honey, M-A-N-U-K-A.
Oh.
Manuka honey is like the bomb diggity from the bee world, you know. So it's very anti-everything, antibacterial, viral, and like that. And then increase your onions, especially in Georgia. We got all these Vidalia onions that are local to the state. Increase your use of onions, raw if you can, and garlic in your food. Both of those are extremely healthy and helpful to increasing your immune system. And so Patrice had left us for a while, but she's back now. Thank you, Patrice.
How are you?
We're doing good. Thank you for calling us back.
Yeah, I'm sorry I got disconnected. I just wanted to speak in reference to the sister from Washington State, because I think a lot of times we forget about how the research mind works. And being in research in the medical profession, it's really shown me some things. And what that means is people study situations, and folks plan things, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And folks have plans in mind while we're caught up doing and thinking about things that don't even matter. And
mm-hmm.
that could be people that are in the playing golf. That could be people at the gym who are really about how we're going to make this piece work. And there are three different phases of clinical trials, you know, and you all can go out there and take a look at it, but I want you to understand that you got phase one that's looking at some promising results in the laboratory, and it's experimental treatment, okay? Then you move into that phase one, and the eligibility requirements are less strict with regard to prior treatment, allowing patients who've had multiple treatments to participate. Then you got phase two. This is after treatment is proven safe in phase one trial. And, of course, a lot of this has to do with numbers because numbers make a difference. And the whole goal for phase two is to determine the effect of the treatment on whatever it may be that they're studying. Then you got phase three. Once the treatment is completed, phase two, then it goes into phase three, and it's approved by the FDA for the general public. Then you got phase four. Phase four takes place after the new treatment has been approved by the FDA. Now, I want you to hear this because, first of all, we got to have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have some understanding about how things work out here. And then we have to pull in that wisdom piece. And that means that, okay, have we really done some research on the laws of health and what we're supposed to do at specific time point? You know, we got to really begin to look at that piece. And these folks aren't sitting around waiting on us to make some decisions. And when I say these folks, I don't care who it is. And most research is really has a lot to do with the linkage with your drug companies, NIH, okay, and some people who come to the research that they do. So with what the sister was saying about in D.C., if they didn't just come up with that plan, y'all.
Mm. Yep.
That plan was already in motion.
Okay.
Mm. And see, what we got to understand, there are different layers of things. So now we got a layer of something that's pandemic. Now we got a situation where now business are closing. Now we got situations where you ain't got your work or you being furloughed. Now you got a situation, now your house note's due and you ain't got money to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got situations where you ain't got gas. Now you got situations where people going to start holding people up because they need some money. Now you got homelessness. So you're dealing with stuff on a whole lot of different levels.
Hmm.
So we got to go back to some of the basics. And whatever and whoever's doing whatever they are doing, they're doing it because that's what they do. It ain't wrong. It ain't right. It's what you're going to do with what's happening right now in the here and now. With yourself, I love the fact that Sandy's doing her detoxing. You know, when I was growing up, my great-grandmama, she detoxed at the change of season four times a year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't sit around waiting, and then, you know, she grew her stuff in the garden.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She had her own sugar cane. You know, she made sure she got out in the sun. We would walk to church together.
Mm-hmm.
She would do enemas. She did all of these things to try to keep herself healthy. She's the only generation in my family still had their womb.
Ooh,
the only
generation.
The one after her, there was a problem. The one after that, there were problems pandemically in that generation. So we've got to really understand that these are opportunities for us to clean up what we need to clean up and get back to what we need to get back to. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. The question is, you got to look at yourself. Am I taking care of business like I need to be taking care of business?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, child.
And then we got to study. We don't want to study.
I know. Yes,
we
yes.
We don't want to do no studying. You know, we act like little babies,
yes.
You know, okay, give it to me. I'm going to open my mouth just like you do with a pill.
Yep.
I'm going to take pill and I'm going to get better. You got to study. We all got to study. And then you have to use yourself as a barometer. Where I was last year, I got to compare myself to where I am now. So you can't compare yourself with anybody else. You got to do the work.
Yep. Yep.
And I'll leave it there for now.
Ooh-wee.
Well, I appreciate you.
Yeah, well, you dropped it like it was hot, sister. Woo!
Well, I'm just being on my divine assignment.
Yes, ma'am.
Love
yes,
y'all.
Ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love
thank you.
You.
Yes, thank you.
So I'm going to throw this in here, Star, while you digesting what Patrice just said.
My head is smoking.
Dr. Joseph Marcola. You can reach him at MERC.
MarcoLa.com, MarcoLa.com. He writes articles every day, and they're always relevant to what's going on in our world. So he, a couple of days ago, on the 10th, he wrote an article called Essential Nutrition to Protect Yourself from Coronavirus. So he talks about, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but he talks about, he said there's still a lot we don't know about the COVID-19, and if it did escape from Wuhan City's BSL-4 facility. They're not giving out many details, so a lot of stuff we're just taking for granted because they said it, and so Dr. Marcola is even bringing that into question. Vitamin C has already been proven over in China to make a significant difference in a person's overcoming the virus. So, Diane, for you and for the youth, you were talking about children, up your vitamin C, the fruit, kiwi, K-I-W-I, has the highest level of vitamin C of any fruit that's on the market. Start eating them. I eat the skin and all. And also, you want to increase your exposure to the sun. The vitamin D is extremely beneficial to you. Hold on a second. I'm turning this page here. And so he talks about, Dr. Marcola talks about the elderberry extract. And remember, Sean told us about the elderberry syrup. That would be one thing with two people recommending it that I would certainly put into my mix with the things that I'm going to study and learn about. And there's a lot of additional nutrients and supplements, minerals that Dr. Marcola talked about. Again, the name of the article is Essential Nutrition to Protect Yourself from Coronavirus. MERCOLA.com, Dr. Marcola. And the article was dated March the 10th. All right, Ms. Starr.
Ooh-wee.
About,
I don't want to tell my age, but about maybe 45 years ago, could even have been 50 years ago, my husband and I decided that because, you know, it's always something going on that, you know, we may not have food in the grocery stores and all that kind of stuff, you know, and then seeing this possible where people are robbing their neighbors, you know, going in to try to get what food they had. We decided that we were going to start a regimen of fasting. And so what we did was we started collecting water, and we also started collecting canned goods. But we decided that we would fast every Thursday. And then, just like Patrice said about her grandmother, four times a year we extended our fast for 7 days or two seven days so that we could learn how to go without eating, without that, in case one morning we woke up and on the news they were saying it was a trucker strike and no food was being delivered to any of the grocery stores. Hey, we cook because we know how we can go without food for 7 days, you know. Plus, we got the little backup in our basement, and we did that for, I would say, like for about 15 years. We started off with one child, my daughter. She would come in and she would do the fasting with us. And as we had other children, they did the same thing. And I'm just throwing it out there to our listening audience. That might be something you might want to start doing for yourself and your family, just so that you can know, be still, and know that you can go without eating for a couple of days and not be panicking, because it could happen. So I thought I would share that with you all.
That's great. Looking at all the, not all, but looking at additional modalities that we can use. And so we talked about this last week, and I just want to give a little bit of assistance in helping us to remember. So back in 1999, going into the year 2000, we said Y2K was going to kill us. In 2001, we said anthrax was going to kill us. 2002 was the West Nile virus. In 2003, it was SARS, which is what this coronavirus is, SARS. In 2005, we had the bird flu. 2006, we had E. coli. 2009, we had swine flu. So, you know, we had Ebola in 14 and Disney measles in 15, the Zika mosquito in 16. And so something in the background, learn, start has to cut out a bit, calm yourself down. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You cut out a little bit there, so I know we missed something juicy after you started talking about all the things that we've gone through.
Oh, I was just saying that we need to calm ourselves down. I did take a breath in there.
Okay.
You know, it's important that we not get ourselves emotionally off balance, off center, like Michelle on us, how it health in order and how the neuroscience figures into our susceptibility to various diseases and things like that. And knowing that the virus is created in a laboratory means that we've got to do to build up our immune system and our protection, because unlike something that's just a natural part of body, such as the bacteria is a natural source or more common, more natural to our body than a virus, our body to fight off. So just be aware, calm down, get you some new knowledge in there, and, you know, spread the news to people and help other people to understand. And let's not go into panic, but let's help each other by first educating yourself and then spreading what you're learning with those around you, with your loved ones and with your family. Ms. Starr?
I would like to quote a comedian. As I was coming into my building today, I had three women say, "Ooh, child, get on inside so you won't catch that virus." And I quoted a comedian, Bernie Mac.
Oh, yes.
And that's not all he said. But, yes, I'm not scared, okay, because I am empowering myself with education, wisdom. I'm using Patrice's words, wisdom and knowledge to know in my little world right here what I can do to help my immune system stay up, to cool my body down and calm my body out so that it is not susceptible to that germ. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say.
And, you know, Star was talking earlier about fasting, how her and her husband and her family all chose to fast to learn how to go without food, without eating food. I am an experienced, that is the word I'm going to use, urine therapy practitioner, which means that I drink my own urine. That's something that's frowned upon in the United States, but practiced very freely in a lot of other countries. And I can go or have gone 45 days with no food, and my energy just increased more and more the longer I stayed on. So that is another one of those modalities that we can talk about in a later show that can also assist with you being able to survive if, in fact, we get to that state of, you know, there's a shortage of food. Because remember, there's a lot of food that was coming from China, a lot of the food that we eat here in America coming from China. And that's where it seems to be, from what I understand, because I'm not following this stuff on the news like that, but what I understand is that China is more affected with not having an export of goods than any place else in the world. So y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I understand. You want to get on more veggies, more fresh fruits and vegetables, veggie soups, make you smoothies. And Star is the queen as far as I'm concerned. She did a 100-day juice and smoothie fast. That was when I first met her. She was in the middle of that. And so we don't have to be slaves to food. Our bodies can survive, and our bodies do survive.
Yes.
Learn to fast every now and then. Go ahead, Star.
Yes. Yes, no, I'm agreeing with you. Give your body a break. I mean, we eat constantly, and every time you swallow something and it goes into your digestive system, your body has to work hard to digest that food and get rid of it. What our body really is functioned to do is to be the cleanup person, to be the cleanup crew, to clean out all the mucus and the toxins and all of that stuff, to get rid of all the waste matter. But it doesn't have time to do that because it's constantly digesting the food that we're putting into our digestive system. And so once we know, I call it once past the lips, we know what happens once we eat the food and how our body has to go into getting rid of it and all that other kind of stuff, then and only then can we make really smart choices about what we eat, how much we're going to eat, and when we're going to give our body breaks so that it can do what it was designed to do, which is to detox our bodies. We got the power. We just have to own up to it and know that we have the power. Get out of your own way. You know, as Patrice said, do not be consumed with being distracted.
Yes.
She has some really nice examples about being on the golf course, being at the gym, but I'm going to give you some others that aren't so awesome. You know, like trying to see, you know, what's happening with Candy and them on the Atlanta Housewives and all this other stuff. That's distraction, and that's on purpose, people, I'm telling you. Because as long as you're being distracted, you're not going to be dealing with what's most important, and that is you and your family's survival.
Yes.
Bottom line.
Awesome. And so, you know, Star also had told you about eating animal products. So I just want to cite this again. This is from www.cdc, better known as the Center for Disease Control. So www.gov/COVID-19. The virus that causes COVID-19 probably emerged from an animal source. If that is not reason enough to make you kind of cut back on your meat intake, just think about it. Just think about it. You may want to start eating more vegetables and start cutting back on some of that meat. We don't know. I mean, they're not being very straightforward with all the information that I think that they already have. As Patrice had stated earlier, you know, this stuff is planned out way in advance. It ain't just happened by, you know, mistake. And I'm going to stop there with that one. Yeah,
ooh, I want to say something really, really important before we end this. I just
Please do, because we only got a couple minutes left.
Okay, I just saw a video on YouTube. I am a student of YouTube University. I'm working on my doctorate degree right now. And so I just saw a video where Whole Foods, when you go to Whole Foods and you go to their organic vegetables and fruit and all that, when they're in packages, look on the back. They come from China.
Mm-hmm.
The organic fruits and vegetables that are packaged come from China. Keep that in mind, people. Look before you buy, okay?
Wow.
Look before you buy.
Wow.
We don't want nothing that comes from China right now, I'm telling you. And also, I know that some of
the things already
like
on the shelf.
Yes, on the shelf, but we got, hey, when you know better, you do better. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And what was that thing that they had, Sandy, where some of the vegetables and the rice and all that stuff from China was made from plastic?
Yeah, but we kept importing it.
Yeah.
It was China, but we kept importing it. We kept consuming it.
Yeah, but they kept consuming it. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have to read and know the source of things and know, you know, hey, what's the ulterior motive? And then another thing that you brought to my attention, Sandy, was that chickens were being sent over to China for them to raise or something, and then they would send it back here for us to eat. Huh?
Isn't it crazy?
Oh.
it makes no sense.
Know.
And, you know, and we think these big old gigantic thighs and breasts that they sell in the supermarket, that's a good deal, you know, because it's so big. But that crap ain't natural. You ain't never seen no chicken with no breast that big. If you did, you called it a turkey. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right, right.
We just got to use common sense. So common sense is one of those. What you say,
see,
it ain't common. Isn't that what you say at Star?
Yeah, everybody got it, so it's common. What we have to do is use uncommon sense.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Think
outside of the box. Yes, yes. Don't get in a box. This has been another one of those, oh, man, awe-inspiring shows, and we thank everyone that came on and shared with us. Patrice, Michelle, Diane, and all of those that listened to the program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So contact information for Star, you can reach her on email at thewellnesswizard555@gmail.com. On Facebook, she's under Granny Gone Raw or Star Waters. My email is lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is Life, Love, and Wellness Global. And you can also reach me at Sandy Rogers with a D, RODGERS. And that's .37 because there's a lot of Sandy Rogers there. We appreciate you. And Sean. The herbalist is Sean, SEAN12@Yahoo for any information that you may need on those herbs. And remember to check out Dr. Marcola's March the 10th article where he talks about different nutrients and minerals to increase your immune system as well. This have been just excellent. Yes, we've got 10 seconds. Go ahead. Take us out, Star.
Ooh, thank you, everybody. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, participants. Thank you, Sandy. We did the dang thing.
The dang thing. We love you guys. To your health and wellness. Bye-bye.